head back by the magic of radio to St Mary's Primary School to find out how the jam jar racing is going on.
Hello again, welcome back to Kitchen Science. We're still here at St Mary's Primary School. I'm still here with Kyle and Charlie, and we're going to race these jam jars. So I hope you've got your slope set up at home, or I hope you've called in to let us know what you thought would happen. So again, Kyle, you thought the one full of water was going to win, didn't you?
Yes.
And that was because you thought the friction would let it slide more easily?
Yeah.
Okay, and Charlie, your bet's still on the raspberry jam because it's heaviest?
Yeah.
Okay then, I'll let Dave count us down and then we can see what happens.
So first of all, we're going to race the strawberry jam and the air. So Charlie, if you'd like to hold those two and to find out which is a winner. 3, 2, 1, go.
The jam
is the winner.
Okay, now we'll try the water against the air. 3, 2, 1, go.
The water is the winner.
So at the moment, both the water and the strawberry jam have beaten the air, so the air's obviously the slowest. We're going to do a race between the strawberry jam and the water and see which one's going to win. 3, 2, 1, go.
The water won against the strawberry jam.
Yes!
I've held all of these. The jam is heavier, and surely the heavier thing is going to roll down the slope quicker. Why on earth would the water win?
Well, how fast things roll down slopes isn't to do with how heavy they are, because the heavier they are, the more mass they've got, so the harder they'll start moving. But also, the more mass they've got, so the more they're pulled down the slope. However heavy something is, it ought to roll down the slope at the same speed. What does change is where that mass is. Because if you look at the air jar, Charlie, how far out is all the weight in that jar? Is it near the middle or near the outside?
It's near the outside.
That means that for it to start rolling, all of that weight's got to move and be rolling. So it's got to be moving down the slope and it's got to be spinning. So that takes more effort to spin it up. So it takes it longer to start spinning, so it rolls down the slope more slowly. Now, if we look at the strawberry jam, if you think of the jam in the middle of that, does that move when it's spinning?
No.
So to spin that, you've got some weight which isn't actually having to be spun. So you need less effort to start it spinning, so it will go down the slope slightly faster. And if we look at the one full of water, now if you spin that, what do you think happens to the water? Do you think the water moves?
It all swirls round. The water moves.
Well, does the water actually move or does it stay still? What we'll do is open the jar and we'll put some dust on the top. Now I'm going to spin that jar and see what happens to dust.
The dust moves a little bit.
Does it move nearly as much as the jar?
It moves less than the jar does.
So the water almost stays stationary when the jar spins around it. So when this is rolling down the slope, the only bit of the system which has to move is the jar itself, the glass on the outside.
Yes.
Whereas all that water just doesn't roll at all. It doesn't have to spin. So it's got all that weight of the water pulling it down the slope, but it doesn't have to spin that weight, so it goes even faster.
Yeah.
So the water should win, and then the jam will come second because the weight's near the middle, and the empty jar will be the slowest because all that weight has to spin really a lot.
Well, I hope that that's what you found at home, that the jar full of water went faster than the heavier jar full of jam. But for now, from St Mary's School in St Neots, and from Charlie, and from Kyle, and of course Dave Ansell, I'd like to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Charming. And there's more Kitchen Science for you to try at home on the Naked Scientist website, which is www.nakedscientist.com. Anyway, we're getting close to the end of the show. We have had a few questions in. We had a question in from John Reynolds in Chesterton, who wants to know, what does junk food consist of? What does something need to contain to be qualified as junk food? I don't think it's a scientific label. My friend at the Food Standards Agency says they don't say junk food anymore because you can't really quantify it. I think I go by the ruling, if it tastes good, it's probably bad for you. But there's not a scientific measure of that. And anyway, we've had a good answer in on our teaser. So we've got Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You've been enjoying the show?
Yes, great.
Cool. Anyway, we wanted to know, how long would it take you to cycle across the galaxy? How long do you think?
60 billion years.
60 billion years. We had Jim and Kaystor who wanted to know if there's a proper cycle path across the galaxy. But anyway, here's Dave to tell us how close you are.
That's a very good answer, actually. The galaxy is about 100,000 light years across, and there's about 10 trillion kilometres in a light year. And there's about and which comes out as about, I got about 700 billion years, which is actually very, very close to your answer, so you're going to be our winner. We had a couple of interesting comments. One from Fred and Scott in Magdalen, who reckons the universe is expanding faster than 15 miles an hour, so you'd never be able to get there. But I reckon that the universe is expanding in between galaxies, not much in the galaxy, so it doesn't quite work. Anyway, 60 billion, my answer is about 50 times longer than the life of the universe, so it's not going to happen soon.
Yeah, so all the people who said longer than the lifetime of the universe, you're kind of right, but we wanted a good guess. So thanks for taking part, Amy.
All right.
We're going to send you a book.
Yay!
Yay! That's a great present. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening.
Okay, right. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's about all we've got time for this week. And next Sunday on The Naked Scientist, there'll be a Q&A show. So email all your questions about science, medicine and technology, because Dr. Chris is back. And he and the team are going to be answering all your questions. So any particularly horrible ones you've got, maybe about squirrels or about the universe, anything, get emailing them in, chris@thenakedscientist.com. And also on our Kitchen Science, you can find out how to make a camera with a magnifying glass. So don't miss that and get your magnifying glass ready. If you've missed any of the show, or if you want to listen again, then you can download the podcast from our website. That's www.nakedscientist.com. And it's packed with all sorts of other stuff about science and technology. There's articles, there's a heads up on next week's show. And as well, there's the podcast archive, so you can go back and listen to them all if you really want to. And also, if you want more of the latest in science, then you can listen to the podcast from Nature, which you can find at www.nature.com/nature/podcast. So go and check that out as well. I'd just like to say thanks to our guests. That's Bruce Winney, Cheery King and Mike Majerus. And also to my co-pilot Dave tonight, to Petro, who's done a fantastic job of working the desk while Chris has been away, and to the production team of Ben, Azzy and Sabina. Dr. Chris will be back with you next week, so it's all okay. And you can find us again on the Naked Scientist podcast. Bye.